Welcome to Sinister Junk Mail Podcast.
Don't take my fucking line.
I knew you were going to say it. Just this morning, I was thinking about how I say just Sinister Junk Mail and you say Sinister Junk Mail Podcast, and I was laughing about it.
Well, wait, ruin it.
You know what I said to myself? I'm not going to tell her to stop because she's her own person and she wants to say it dumb. I'm going to let her.
And she's better than me, so it's fine.
I'm just kidding. You're adorable. Go on.
My name is Susie Turner.
Her name is Susie Turner. Susie Turner.
And her name is Kate Leakey.
Say it how you think I sound. I would really love to hear your impersonation of me.
I am Kate Lissay.
Oh, that was bad. You can do better than that.
My name is Kate Lissay.
That was a good, solid effort. Thank you. My name's Kate Lissay.
Well, on this week, you're going to hear extra nasally Susie.
Yeah.
I apologize in advance. Kate got me sick.
It's kind of sexy.
I'm just kidding. Kate didn't get me sick. She didn't even catch that.
She would never let me get her sick. There's no opportunity for me to get her sick.
No, you're right.
If you listened last week, you'd know.
I'm a slight germaphobe.
Yeah, little germ freak she is.
However, you know who doesn't respect my boundaries?
Who?
My kids.
Yeah, fuck that.
And 2 out of my 4 kids were sick and I was taking care of them. Mm. And then it bit me in the ass.
And diarrhea demon came to play. Just kidding.
No diarrhea this time. Thank God. No, but now you're just going to have to hear this and it's all nasally.
It's kind of hot. Like your feet pics.
Oh, God. For a cheap $4.99, you can get my bare feet.
They fucking wish they could.
So this week, other than nasally Susie Turner over here, we are talking about Edmund fucking Kemper.
Edmund Bumblebutt Kemper.
Why is that? Why? Why you keep saying this?
Because he made that name for himself. He thinks he's so cute and bumbly that he made that name for himself. A bumblebutt apparently is somebody who is like oafish and like, I'm just a big dum-dum, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I also think that people that make their own nicknames, it's really fucking stupid.
So cute. Their own symbols too. Like BTK. Anyway.
But yeah, so this week we're going to talk about how weird he was and how he's really just fucked up.
I honestly think the whole bumblebutt thing was also just to like another manipulative tactic to make himself appear less threatening, you know?
You know what? I believe that. Mm-hmm. And you will too after hearing everything we tell you. But he was so manipulative that I think everything that he said, did, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
Nothing was done just out of like,
I
want this fun nickname. No, it was like there was
a calculated
thought.
Move.
It was very calculated.
For sure.
So we'll just jump into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Edmund Kemper was born on December 18th, 1948 in Burbank, California. He was in the middle of child and had 2 sisters.
Well, it's all coming together now.
That's it. He was the middle child.
Yeah.
In a discussion, that's really it, guys. He killed a bunch of people. We figured out why.
Because he was a middle child. The only boy. It's a double whammy.
Oh, man. So his parents divorced in 1957, and he moved into... Not moved into Montana. He moved to Montana. Just... So he moved to Montana with his mother and his 2 sisters.
Yeah.
So his mother was an alcoholic and she was extremely critical of her only son. And she blamed Kemper for all of her problems and issues like one mother does.
Yeah.
You know, when I wake up in the morning and I'm having a bad day, I'm like, you know what? It's you kids.
You're the reason for I hate everything.
You did this to me.
That's what all good mothers do, right?
Yeah. Although I do mumble under my breath sometimes like, my body's ruined. It's because of you.
I think as long as they don't hear you, it's fine.
Yeah. You know? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hallway down there.
No, just gross.
Hello. Hello.
It's just full of fucking cobwebs.
Well, maybe that was her problem. She birthed the biggest motherfucker. So
he
maybe
he was an ogre.
He was. And we'll get to that in a second.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I won't spoil today.
So I don't know if this is the first episode you've ever listened to, but I'm going to spoil the spoiler.
Kate's a spoiler.
Kate ruins everything.
Just fucking get rid of her already.
I'm looking for a new co-host actively.
They better be able to edit.
And they better be able to make me laugh.
Yeah.
So when Edmund was 10, his mother forced him to live in the basement. She began to fear that he was going to hurt his sisters. So in this way, it was her way to kind of like keep him away from the family.
I wonder why she thought that, like what kind of behaviors he was having.
Oh, wait, hold that thought.
Here I go.
Here she goes.
Sorry.
So his half-brother, he had a half-brother, and I don't really know when the half-brother came into the equation, but the half-brother seems to like sort of be okay with being interviewed. So we have some like, we have a lot of thoughts from him.
Oh, great.
His sister's disappeared.
Of course, I would too.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I don't blame them, you know. But his half-brother, his name is David Weber, has come out saying that Kemper was abused by his mother, which Kemper,
shocking.
Right. And Kemper said it too.
Yeah.
But hearing it from a different person that wasn't a serial killer, sometimes kind of like
corroborating it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the family called Edmund Guy, which is kind of weird.
Hey, Guy, because they didn't want to use his name. They wanted to like make him feel like he just like was not even worthy of an actual name or what?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, you know what? I will contact Edmund Kemper myself.
Call him up and ask him his thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, Bumble Butt. Wait, it wasn't Bumble Butt.
You were going to say Bubble Butt. It was Bumble Butt.
Yeah. Okay.
Though he did have a bit of a bubble butt as well.
Just
send him some pictures of your feet.
Maybe I will. Me and my monkey toes. So yeah, so the family called Edmund Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Weber had publicly stated, this is direct quotes, she would lock Guy up in the basement. Anytime he tried to talk about girls, she would say something about the girls never wanting to date someone as ugly as him.
Aww.
Which I know he's a fucked up individual, but like...
And especially like as a child or like a young teenager, that's fucked.
He hadn't gotten fucked. Like he hadn't become a serial killer yet. Like,
right.
I think this was like in the making.
I mean, you always hear these sorts of things with the serial killers. They have the fucked up moms who do fucked up. Not always, but a lot of the times.
They have mommy issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have mommy issues.
Yeah. Their moms sucked for the most part.
Right. And dads are supposed to be caretakers, right? It's just a dad, but a mom... There's like a weird connection there because you birthed these people.
Yeah.
And if that's the person that's like literally turning away from you and now like it's supposed to be someone that's like the most protective over you, period. That's why it's like mama bear comes out.
Right.
There has to be something psychologically.
That rejection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Like many other serial killers, there were signs at an early age that he would have a pretty troubled future.
Yeah.
Kemper admitted to having a dark fantasy life. And during some of these fantasies, he dreamed of murdering his own mother.
I wonder if he ever like talked about his dark fantasies to his mom. And that's why she's like, you're living in the basement now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he would play a game with the sisters called Gas Chamber.
Oh,
and
cute.
This might be part of it. You know?
Okay.
So during this game, he would have his sisters blindfold him and take him to a chair. And once in the chair, he would act out a painful death until the game would eventually end. Because he would fake his death.
So he was the one being tortured in this scenario.
And he loved it.
Weird.
And Kemper would take his dolls and cut off their heads. Which, not... that
the
one
sister's
doesn't,
dolls?
Yeah.
Oh.
That one doesn't get me as much. Because, like, it's... To me, it's like a brother being a brother.
Yeah.
But, like, him pretending to be essentially tortured to death is alarming.
I don't know. It reminds me of that kid on Toy Story, you know?
Oh.
The toy mutilator who's like definitely fucked in some way.
Yeah. He would grow up, not be a cartoon anymore.
No.
And kill 10 people.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Kemper would eventually escalate things. And at the age of 10, he buried one of his family cats alive.
Ugh, see, the cutting off the doll's head's fine, whatever. Boys, like, are assholes sometimes. And that's not, like, that big a deal. Because, like, lots of brothers just want to piss off their sisters, you know? But the animal, that thing was alive, and you fucking killed it. That's horrible.
And for a kid to, like, not feel anything towards that. And if anything, I'm sensing he felt enjoyment because he kept fucking going.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
And that's also like one of those like huge signs that someone's a serial killer.
It's part of the McDonald triad.
Right.
Yeah. The setting fires, animal torture, and killing,
wetting the bed.
And wetting the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that in a
previous
BTK,
episode. I think so.
Did I ever tell you that when I was a kid, we went to church with this family and they had like a bunch of fucking kids, like 5 or 6 of them. And one of them, he was like a little boy, like I think Thor, and he chopped up a kitten with a meat cleaver. And it was so fucking weird. The story like spread through our church like wildfire. And I was like probably, I don't know, 9 or 10 when I heard about it. Isn't that so fucking weird?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A 4-year-old.
Yeah. something bad was going on in that house. It had to be.
It had.
What kind of 4-year-old goes like, oh, dinner, chop, chop, chop. You know what I mean?
I don't understand. And where was the parents? Why did he have
all of this? There so many questions.
You know what? I could have gone my entire life without hearing that story.
Sorry. It's fucked. Yeah.
That's really fucked.
I know. But anyway, I just...
Do you know what happened to him? Did he become a serial killer?
I don't. And I wish I remembered their last name so I could look them up, but I don't.
Because I feel like that could be episode 66.
Yeah. Well, I'll look into it further, but I doubt I'm going to find anything. They were like very much trying to like, you know, this didn't happen.
Well, anyway, so we buried the cat's family cat alive. But once the cat was dead, he was not done.
Ew.
The kitty cat. Kimber dug it up and then he beheaded the cat. And then he displayed it on a spike.
Okay.
So he's just a lot.
Yeah. Where did he put it?
Like in his butt.
Okay, good. In his bumble butt.
I don't know. I don't know where he put it. There wasn't a whole lot of information because it's like, I have a feeling a lot of this information is coming from his own interviews.
Right.
You know, so it's not going to be like, it's not like later with like the actual killings where there's evidence and findings and
Yeah.
And I'm sure his mom was not going taking pictures and like documenting.
Well, my cute son did. Yeah.
I'm He's so proud of him.
Yeah.
So then at 13, I have a problem with the next statement.
Okay.
So they bought another cat.
Oh, good.
To replace the cat that he murdered.
Okay.
So then at 13 years old, Kemper murdered the other cat by slaughtering it with a knife.
Stop bringing cats into this fucking house, you know?
So that was my thought.
Yeah.
Is it didn't work out the first time. And as he gets older, it's only going to get worse. Why would you do that? Why would you subject another animal to this? Which pisses me off more because, you know, I love animals more than I do people.
What the fuck
is wrong with you, stupid little motherly Edmund
like,
Kemper
I would
bitch.
Not. There's so many things I want to be like, I would never do. But I would hope that I'd never have a child who would murder a cat in the first place.
Yeah, let's hope not. So Kemper ran away from his mother's house at the age of 15. And according to the stepbrother, Kemper creeped out the father's new wife.
Mm.
So the father would end up sending Kemper back to his mother.
Great.
Right. And at which point the mother went, nah, and sent him to live with his paternal grandparents in North Fork, California.
I don't know what I would do with my kid if he was doing that stuff. So first of all, I do blame the mother for being a horrible cunt.
Right.
But I don't blame her for sending him away if he's murdering fucking animals and scaring people all the time, you know?
I think, honestly, at this point, I would be getting him mental help. Absolutely. Not sending him to another family member.
Unsuspecting family members. Right.
Elderly family members.
I would be getting definite psychiatric help for my child.
Because it's clearly a cry for help.
Yes.
So his grandparents lived on a farm in North Fork, but Kemper hated being out there.
Yeah.
Fairly soon after arriving to the farm, his grandparents took his rifle away because he started killing small animals
Why did he have a rifle in the first place?
I don't fucking know. I feel like he was a troubled individual.
Yeah.
The people surrounding him were not helping him in any way, shape, or form.
I'm like not anti-gun
at
all. Same. I am anti-idiot child who kills animals having a gun.
Right.
You
At
know?
That point, I wouldn't even be giving him a fork. I'd be like, here's a baby spoon.
And a fucking straitjacket.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Drop him off at a mental institution.
Yes. Something else should have been done for sure.
Right. Well, they'll learn today. Kemper fought with his grandmother as much as he did with his mom, which was troublesome, obviously, because his mom tore him down every second he got.
Jeez.
And he would later admit that his grandmother emasculated him.
Sounds like his mom got it from somewhere.
No, it was his paternal grandparents.
Oh, you said that.
Yeah, God, I just need you to fucking listen.
I'm sorry
to me when I talk.
Oh God, I can't keep up. Either way, they both are twats.
They are.
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't do that to people.
No,
you don't.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like it either.
Mm-mm.
And so, again, I think he was already troubled.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're adding people that are like actually mentally just degrading him.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to give him excuses, but I do think it just urged him to become who he did become.
Everything encouraged this behavior.
Right.
There was nothing that was like a good, like, this is not good. Let's make it stop and not continue this abusive pattern.
Like, you kill animals. Let's go get you mental help. No, I'm just going to be like, you're not a man and you're ugly and fuck you.
I
fucking
hate that. The
That's
whole
disgusting.
Like, you're a sorry excuse of a man sort of insult.
Yeah, you know? No, I think people that it's just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
What is your definition of a man? Right. Everyone is different. Yeah. Why does it matter? There's no like cookie cutter way to like describe anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, in an interview, Kemper stated, "I couldn't please her." Speaking about his grandmother. "I couldn't please her. It was like being in jail. I became a walking time bomb and I finally blew." Yeah. So he began to feel rage and resentment towards his grandparents.
Yeah.
And on August 27th, 1964, he got into an argument with his grandmother and shot her 3 times in the head and in the back while she was sitting at the kitchen table.
Like execution style.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It gets better.
Just leave. Just leave.
No. It gets... No. He can't just leave.
Yeah.
So then he waited for his grandfather to get home. And he shot him as well.
Wow.
And then hid the body.
Great.
Kemper said he killed his grandfather because he felt like his grandfather would be angry at him for murdering his grandmother. No shit, Sherlock.
There's so many opportunities for him to just go like, I'm just going to dip out now. But no, I'm going to go everything that's wrong. I feel like that's just such a stupid excuse, though. I feel like he really just wanted to kill him.
Maybe, but as we'll learn later, I think there's some mental issues going on that I think that it is.
I'm sure.
It's keeping him from like thinking clearly.
Yeah.
You know? So after the incident, he called his mom to tell her what happened. "Hey, Ma.
Oh my God. I killed my grandparents." About it.
He's not Southern. I don't know why I do this. He's actually really dopey sounding. So let's try this again. "Mom, I killed my grandparents."
And he like talks quietly too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Very calm.
Yeah.
He's very inviting.
Like creepily calm though.
But almost to the point like I have to remind myself in interviews that he's an awful person.
Yeah.
Because he's very good at like almost doing this like weird sense of like, you're comfortable with me. I won't hurt you.
Yeah.
I only hurt them because I had to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so okay. Weird. I wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? It's very strange.
Yeah.
So she would tell him, "You need to call the police. Tell them what you've done. Confess everything."
Yeah.
And I have a feeling part of her reasoning of going like, "You need to tell them exactly what happened," was because she was going, "Oh, thank God he's not my problem anymore. Yeah. He's getting locked up."
Yeah.
But he would confess that he murdered his grandfather only because he didn't want him to find his own wife's body murdered.
Good.
Yeah, so I don't think he had any like really like ill will towards his grandfather. Yeah. I really do think it was mostly just...
Well, I mean, his problem is obviously with women.
Yes, and we'll find that out later. But it was just all women.
Like, why did she say later so much louder than there? Oh, I'm sorry.
But honestly, that was the only male victim that there was. And so I think it makes it very like noticeable that...
And it was a thing where he was like, it's because I don't want him to know what I did.
Yeah.
Not because he's angry or rageful at him. It's almost like he was embarrassed for him to find that out about him.
I don't... Exactly. I don't think it was like a, oh no, like I need to kill him too because he's an asshole. I really do think the women in his life were just torturing him.
Yeah.
And then it kind of put like a target on every other woman's back, even people that didn't do anything wrong to him. But in his head it was just
he had like this whole narrative going.
So after the arrest, he would tell the police that, "I just wanted to see how it felt to shoot grandma."
Ew.
Isn't that gross?
That's so gross.
I
hate it.
These
are things he'd already been like living out in his mind.
He doesn't admit to this one. But
I'm sure
I wouldn't doubt it,
right? His fantasies.
I would not doubt this. So then he would be placed with the California Youth Authority because of the murders.
Okay.
And then they ran a ton of tests while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized he had a very high IQ. He's actually a genius.
Oh.
And has an IQ of 145.
I don't necessarily fully trust those IQ tests.
But I don't know. I genuinely think he's really intelligent.
I mean, I do too. I do believe that he's very smart. I just don't put a lot of faith in the whole like, this is what you wrote down or said. So you are definitely a genius now.
Know, that's fair.
Yeah.
But while they were testing, they also figured out he was a paranoid schizophrenic.
Of course he was.
Yeah. So once he finished all the testing, he was sent to a state hospital, and this was a maximum security facility for criminals that suffered from mental illness.
Okay. That's probably the best place he could have been.
Yes. Except.
Yeah.
Of course, he was a model prisoner. He befriended everybody. And he started actually helping the hospital staff administer psychiatric tests on other patients.
Wow.
But that's what I'm saying is this guy is like diabolical.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, let's talk about the staff.
Yeah.
And what fucking right mind are you in that you just gave... He just killed his grandparents.
Yeah.
And he's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And now you're going, you know what? I feel like I need another cup of coffee and I'd like a snack.
Yeah.
Can you go test prisoner like 1432?
I wonder if he was just like helping by like, I don't know, doing sort of like the clerical stuff for like giving papers or you know what I mean? Like
maybe.
The administrative side of it. But still.
Like, I don't like it.
I would not think that's a great idea.
No.
No.
Okay. Whatever. You know what? Yeah. That was back in the 60s, too. So
and
things
that's
are
like
a little
his
weird.
Level of like charm over people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he like, it just seems like it's like those murders were circumstantial. And
yeah.
We're friends now. I would never harm anyone.
Right.
But meanwhile, he's fucked.
Yeah, definitely not.
So he was released at the age of 21 in 1969. 69.
You just can't help yourself.
I can't. It's a problem.
Yeah.
So the doctors at the state hospital highly recommended that he did not go back to living with his mom.
Oh.
Shocking. But it was due to the past abuse.
Right.
So they were like, please, God, don't do
it. So not that they worried for her, but that they were like, she's going to abuse him again.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it was going to essentially have
the situation
a trigger on him because clearly when he gets triggered, he kills people.
Right. It's not a good idea
no.
for anybody, really.
No, like when I get triggered, I start cleaning excessively. Like that's how you know I'm like really emotionally in a bad place.
You don't just like start shooting people in the back of the head?
No. Oh. And so like when your trigger is like cleaning, mm-hmm. like is it that bad to piss me off? Probably not. You're going to have like the cleanest fucking house in the world. But when your trigger is like, nah, I'm just going to off that. I'm going to off them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe it's not great.
It's not a great idea.
Yeah.
So I know this is shocking, but against doctor's orders, Kemper moved back with his mama. So he moved back to Santa Cruz, California.
I wonder if she thought he was all like better now.
I highly doubt it because they would continue having like serious issues.
Yeah.
So while Kemper was locked up, his mother had remarried and divorced again. Clearly, she is a toxic human being.
Yes, she is.
I mean, we've both been through divorces, mm-hmm. but like she seems to have like a lot of fucking issues, right? So not that anyone that's divorced has, we're divorced. We're divorcees. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
But I think that she doesn't have healthy relationships.
Right.
Like even with, I'm sorry, if you don't have a healthy relationship with your kids and every other husband you've mm-hmm. had, like it, start looking within, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that having a divorce necessarily means you're a toxic person because lots of people, that's probably the opposite. You realize the relationship or situation isn't working, so you move away from it. It's the continual like abuse and all of the other shit that makes her toxic.
And I think that I'm thinking that she's so toxic that she just can't like
keep a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Even with her kids, because again, I like from here on out, you won't hear anything about his like the two other daughters.
That's so strange.
Which is very strange to me too. So anyway, she now held a position at the University of California, Santa Cruz as an administrative assistant. And while he resided here, he would attend community college and eventually land a job with the Department of Transportation in 1971.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a whole job.
A whole job. Huh. So Kemper's dream job was to become a state trooper.
Okay.
but he applied to become one and they actually turned him down.
Was it because of the murder?
No, it was because of his size.
Wow.
So at this time... At the time of his application for being a state trooper, he was 6 feet, 9 inches.
So we don't care that you like killed your grandparents or anything, but you're just a little too tall. Sorry, buddy.
And he was 300 fucking pounds.
Jesus.
Like if he had taken his energy and gone into football, he would be a fucking like
unstoppable.
He'd be unstoppable. Like he could have played for the Georgia Bulldogs. Go Dogs.
Sorry.
You eat your puke. We're doing great this fucking year.
I don't know about sports ball.
I mean, honestly, his size alone is just incredible.
Yeah.
Except if you're a victim and you can't fight back.
Yeah, there's no overpowering that.
There's no overpowering
for
this.
Small women.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Kate and I'm 5 foot and Kate's
5'2".
Yeah. We're That's like a nightmare. Genuinely.
No, it's horrifying.
There's nothing we could have done. We would have just like fucking like died.
Oh, I know. I would have gone for his eyes first and foremost.
But really? I always go, I would have like, penis. I think
how smart.
Yeah. How tall he is. Yeah, our heads would go to his dick. So that's at that point, my fists would just pop, 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 pop.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Oh, yeah. Really? You're not just going to yank it off like or bite it off as if you can?
Why was my mouth on his dick?
I don't know. You just get a hold of it wherever you can. You just said your face was in it. The level.
I meant like we're head level. I didn't mean like I'm buried in his balls.
I don't know. I have taught my kids, you try to gouge out eyeballs.
I don't think we can reach his fucking eyeballs, Kate.
I mean, at some point, I don't know. I really don't know. It's horrible. It's all right. Really scary.
We digress.
Yeah, sorry.
We're now like, I'm actually getting like sweaty. I'm like scared and he's like
the
locked up.
The point is just like bite and claw and pull off anything you can.
Oh, yeah. Fuck
that.
Trying to be a lady.
Yeah, no.
You act like an unhinged, crazy person. I want I've told them my kids
to
that
be
too.
Scared of being in the room with me. I want them to think I'm possessed by a demon.
Oh, yeah. So this is kind of off topic, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I grew up watching Oprah with my mom.
Yeah.
Every summer, every fucking day, it was...
Oh, man, that's a lot of Oprah.
It was a lot of Oprah. Some of them were, like, kind of shit, but, like, then she would have some specials that were always, like, about trauma, and I, weirdly enough, I was always like, oh I love it.
I'm attracted to this.
Yes. And so one of them was about, like, being, like, a rape victim. So, like, it's... And one of the victims said that she was like being like she was about to get raped and she like peed on purpose.
Yeah.
And it grossed out her attacker and
I've
he left.
Heard of that before.
I've told my kids, I'm like, pee. I don't care.
That's what stuck with you as a child. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that weird? No, I don't even care. Save
anything
yourself.
That you can do is the right thing to fucking do.
Yeah. I don't care. Just save yourselves.
Yeah.
And this is more like
any which way you can.
This is what I tell my kids, but this is also like a public service announcement. Just fucking save yourselves.
If you can. If of you course, can. You know, it's not your fault if that doesn't work out.
No, no, no.
Whatever you can.
Yeah. Because like when you're up against someone like this, like what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a strong possibility that even then they're not going to make it because he can overpower.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But any fucking thing you can try. That's what you got to try.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. So he didn't make the state troopers. Thank God.
Yeah.
That guy, like, in a position of power would be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But he began to befriend Santa Cruz police officers.
Great.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So one of his friends gave him a training badge.
Like a little kid.
Yeah. But don't worry. Another one of his friends gave him handcuffs.
It's just like ours.
Yeah.
Except the handcuffs. Yikes.
And then another officer let him borrow his gun.
Oh, my God.
And they named him, they nicknamed him Big Ed.
Wow. So he was like a volunteer sheriff's deputy, just like Dwight Schrute in The Office. That's what it makes me think of.
So Kevin is my favorite.
Kevin is the best. Kevin and his chili when he's like, dumps. Yes. Oh, my God. I love
and then
that.
The like double chin every time he laughs and he's like.
Yeah. I love him so much.
So no one saw the double chin, so I don't know why I did it, but it's
fine. I saw it, and it was a delight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So he would even purchase a car that ended up looking like an unmarked police officer.
Great.
Yeah. Or an unmarked police vehicle, not a police officer. So Kemper was struck by a car while driving his motorcycle during the same time period he was working for the highway department.
Mm.
He had a serious injury and he received $15,000 for the civil suit that he filed.
Wow.
He wasn't able to work at this time, so it freed him up for bad, bad shit.
Just what he needs.
Yeah.
Lots of extra time on his hands.
Yeah. Well, and if you think back at like the BTK episode, Dennis Rader is anytime he had extra time.
Yeah.
Is when he would end up doing bad shit. If he was too busy, like a newborn baby and... He would slow down and kind of just like disengage from killing.
Mm-hmm.
But these people cannot have extra time on their hands.
No. And the craving always pops back up.
Yeah.
They'll always find a time to do it.
Right. So he bought a new car with his settlement. And he.
Imagine being able to buy a new car for $15,000.
I know. I mean, I think you can to this day, but it's like a real shit car.
Yeah. And also, like, it was probably a lot of $15,000 was probably a lot of money back then.
But during this time, he began prepping his car with the tools he would need to fulfill his desires, such as handcuffs, a knife, and a gun.
Great.
And he also started referring to himself as Big Daddy. Ugh,
gross.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. Ew. Did he actually refer to himself as anything?
No.
Oh, you just wholly dropped that in. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
But anyway, Kemper also began noticing the large number of women that were hitchhiking in his area, which is a disaster.
Yeah.
Kimber began by picking up some of the female hitchhikers and actually letting them go. It was almost like practice runs.
Yeah.
You know? So unfortunately, he then offered Mary Ann Pesce, and I'm really hoping I'm saying that right.
P-E-S-C-E.
Yeah. And Anita Lucchesa, two Fresno State students, a ride in his car on May 7th, 1972. And the women later would be reported missing by their families. Eventually, Mary Ann's head would be discovered in the woods near Santa Cruz. However, Anita's body would never be found. I know. It's so fucked. That's
terrible.
So Kemper would later state that he stabbed and strangled Mary Ann first, and then he stabbed Anita.
God.
I know.
Did he say, did he tell them where to find the head, or did they like discover it themselves?
They discovered it themselves.
Okay. So it's not like he like, here it is. So he never told them anything about where the bodies were located?
I don't think so.
Okay.
At least not from what I found.
Okay.
And after he had killed both women, he brought their bodies back to the apartment.
Oh God.
He wrapped their bodies in blankets and brought them to his room. Kemper then admitted to removing their hands and their heads from their bodies.
What the fuck?
He's disgusting. And then he proceeded to engage in sexual activity with their dead bodies.
Ew.
And he took pictures along the way throughout the process as well.
Why the fuck did he? Because there still wasn't like FBI DNA like labs at this point, right?
I don't think so.
Why the fuck did he take their hands off? I'm so confused.
I think it's more for his own pleasure. I don't think it was because of...
like, I prevent them from being identified sort of thing?
No, yeah. I genuinely think it was more for
that's
his own pleasure.
That's such a weird thing. I don't understand.
Yeah, because you'll notice, or we'll go into like his later killings, but all of them, he likes to almost dissect bodies.
God, ew.
He enjoys it. It's weird. It's very, very strange. And I will say, I think that the FBI's unit was like starting up. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's what we have today.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, yes and no. I think that like it was getting there, but it's not like today where like we have.
It was huge, like the very early days of it.
Well, and what's interesting, we'll get to this later, is like the FBI like actually interviewed him as like almost to figure out how to learn how to profile for serial killers.
Okay.
And I actually found some interviews from one of the agents.
Oh,
and there's
weird.
Actually kind of a funny story, but maybe not so funny later.
Great.
But you better listen to the whole fucking episode to find out.
Love it.
No pressure. On September 14th, 1972, Kemper would fulfill another fantasy by picking up Aiko Koo.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this girl was 15 years old.
Oh.
I know. It like broke my heart.
Ugh, all of them suck, but the young ones just really strike a chord.
So they all suck.
Yeah.
But I think something about a kid.
Yeah.
And maybe it is being a mom.
Yeah.
No matter what, I know that like these like 19 or like 20 something year olds, they all are daughters. I get it. But there's something about like someone under 18.
Yeah.
It makes it even more amplified. Yeah. Like it's sad no matter what.
Yeah.
It's all so tragic.
Yeah.
But like this girl didn't even get to like finish high school. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's just so sad.
It is sad.
So she decided to hitchhike to dance class that day. Ugh. And usually she takes the bus. But she didn't feel like waiting for the bus that day.
That's awful.
I know.
I hate that.
I'm getting
so
chills.
Much.
And it's
so
not even like
it's always just so avoidable. And it's
I
sad.
Know. And it's so sad.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's the hindsight where you go like,
yeah,
she had just taken the bus. Like parents could drive themselves crazy thinking about it.
You know that her parents sat there and went, I should have driven her that day.
Yeah.
I should have.
There's nothing they could have done.
There's nothing you could have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so unfortunately there's nothing. She just made a decision that day and it sealed her fate. And
yeah. It just sucks.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, it just sucks. And unfortunately, there's so many shitty fucking people out there.
Yeah. You can never trust anyone.
No. And I know that sounds so bad, but I tell my kids
it's
all the time.
True.
I'm like, don't trust anyone.
Yep.
I was like, unless it's our family. And when I mean our family, I mean even you guys. Like they know that you're
you
our family.
Know them. Yeah. Be rude. Hurt people's feelings.
I don't care
if it means you're getting away alive.
Like,
you'll never be the person to stop and help someone on the side of the road. Sorry, but you won't be. Don't do it. It's not going to be you.
My mom, I love her dearly. She's passed away. I'm not trying to speak ill of her, but I do think that she had a lot of her own mental issues, but she never saw anyone.
Right.
She picked up a few hitchhikers
when I
was in the car.
I remember thinking
like, this isn't good. And it was a men.
Right?
It was men.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying.
I
remember being terrified as a kid. And my mom's like, they need help. I'm like, okay.
Let someone else be the helper. Like, fuck.
Yeah. But again, I think my mom needed her own mental health.
Yeah,
but
it sounds like it.
I digress.
That's so scary.
I tell my kids, I'm like, nope, we are not those people.
No.
We keep on driving. I will call for help if you need it.
Yeah.
As I continue driving.
With my window rolled up.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah,
sorry.
But anyway, so the 15-year-old, he picked her up. He taped her mouth and attempted to suffocate her. It took a while, but eventually he succeeded in getting the girl to pass out.
Jesus.
And at this point, Kemper took her out of the car, laid her on the ground, and then raped the teenage girl. Like, thankfully,
I hate him.
She wasn't conscious, which honestly, I think was for the best because I couldn't even fucking imagine.
If I was in this situation, I would just want to be dead at this point.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any sort of conscious recollection of this.
No.
Fuck.
So then after the rape, he suffocated her with her own scarf.
God.
And then he killed her and put the body into the trunk of the car. And Kemper actually stopped at the local bar with his cop friends because that local bar was where all the cops hung out.
Yeah.
And he had a few drinks while the dead body sat inside of his trunk.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that, again,
it's
this is so,
gross.
He plays such mind games. Yeah. Like, he gets off on this.
He knew. Yeah. He was I know that she's in my car.
Yeah.
You don't know, but I know. And that's a treat. You know, I'm like, ew.
And then he took her lifeless body back to his apartment, laid her on his bed. And then he dissected her in a similar way that he did his previous victims.
Fuck him. I hate him so much.
I know. He's disgusting.
There's nothing okay about any of this.
No.
Like, Jesus.
It's fucked.
It's not like a fucking toy. It's a human person. It's a little girl. I'll never understand how people are capable of, like, taking someone else's life away. What gives them that sort of authority?
No. I don't get it. And clearly something's really fucked. Like, I'm the person that, like, catches the fucking spider to put it outside because I feel too guilty for taking its life away.
I don't even like bugs. I fucking hate them. And sometimes I'll just let the spider live because I know it's going to eat the worst bugs. But still.
It makes me feel weird. But, like, I can't imagine. So Kemper actually, and this is the fucked up part.
Oh, great. Because it wasn't yet.
Oh, it gets more and more fucked up.
No.
So Kemper actually appeared at a parole hearing the next day after killing the 15-year-old girl. He met with a panel of psychiatrists and he convinced them that he was great.
Good.
These professionals highly recommended that his juvenile murder record be expunged while he literally still had blood under his nails from the night before. Like, this is how manipulative and diabolical he is.
That's so terrible.
What I'm saying is, like, I don't think anything he says or does is just, like, off. It's not off the cuff.
It's all like calculated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so calculated. And you know, as like the parents too, you're sitting there like, and
really,
you're starting to get all the facts and you're like, my daughter was like not even buried yet.
Yeah.
You know,
and you guys said it was cool and to just like let the public think he was a safe person.
Right. You thought he was reformed.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'd be furious.
Oh my God. Never mind what I would do. I'm not going to put this on the record. On January 8th, 1973, Kemper picked up another hitchhiker.
Great.
This time it was Cindy Shaw, a 19-year-old female. He drove her to Watsonville and then he forced her to get into the trunk. Still alive.
Yeah.
He then proceeded to shoot Cindy.
Wow.
Kemper then brought her body back to his duplex. He brought her inside into his bedroom. And then he had sexual intercourse with the dead body. And then the following morning. So that body is it's cold. It's hard.
Right.
It's even
rigor mortis has set in.
That's what I'm saying. It's even more fucked.
Yeah.
So after he removed any evidence from her body, such as the bullets from her skull, Kemper then began to dissect her body like he had done in all the previous ones. And he removed her head from the body and buried it in his mother's backyard.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but it gets better. Don't you worry.
Good.
He took the rest of the body parts and threw them into the ocean.
Okay.
And eventually some of the body parts were discovered because they washed onto shore.
Oh, my God. Imagine being the person to find that hand.
Would die.
Anytime I hear stories of people like stumbling across a body, like on a hike, whatever, I can't imagine being that part. Like, that would stick with you in your mind forever. I would never, like, you close your eyes and you see that on the back of your eyelids.
So like my two forever. Favorite things, I love the beach and I love hiking. I'm destined to find a dead body.
Luckily, my favorite thing is staying inside my house. So I'm much less likely than you are.
So Kimber admitted later that he buried Cindy's head face up in the garden that his mom's bedroom overlooks.
Great.
And his reasoning, this is exact quotes because it's fucked. She always had wanted people to look up at her.
Ew.
Like, I don't. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's his way to say, like, fuck you. Yeah, but you're, like, hurting other people. Like, hurt your mom, which,
spoiler alert. And don't, like, just leave. Just fucking leave.
I know.
You know?
I know. But I think this is past the point of leaving. Oh, he is, like, so bloodthirst.
Yeah. This poor Cindy Shaw had nothing to do with any of this. Like, fucking leave her alone.
No. So on February 5th, 1973, Kimber committed a double murder. This is after he had another intense fight with his mom. And that's what it seemed like, is every time he had a fight with his mom, he would go out and find a female and murder her.
Okay, good.
So again, you're taking your anger and all of these like terrible feelings and you're putting innocent people into it, you know? And I'm sure these women were lovely.
They didn't deserve this. I wonder if it's like a thing where he like would pick them up and then like something that he would like in his mind give them an opportunity to like not get killed, and then they would say something and be like, oh, that's the trigger. That's it. Now I have to do it. You know, like Eileen Wuornos would do with like the guys she killed.
I think he went into it knowing he was going to kill them. Yeah. I do. Because he never admitted.
He never would like lie to himself though and be like, maybe I won't if they don't do this thing. And then they'd do something like offended him. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think he went into it knowing that he was going to take his anger out and kill somebody.
God.
And I think that his mom had convinced him so much that he didn't deserve a woman.
Yeah, or
that
they would never get love a woman him anyway.
That in order for him to have sex, he was going to have to kill that woman to have sex with. I don't think that it was because like a lot of these, some of these women, like this next, like the one I'm just talking about, he killed so abruptly. There was no way. Like they got in the car and they were like, thanks for the ride.
Bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, on February 5th, he got into a fight with his mom. He went out and his mom worked for the university and she had given him a campus parking sticker.
Oh, good.
So Kimber went to the university and offered Rosalind Thorpe and Alice Liu rides. Both of these women were students at the university. Kimber shot both of them pretty quickly into the car ride.
Oh my God.
To the point that they didn't even make it out of the parking lot. Like he actually drove past campus security with two women fatally shot in his car.
Jesus.
And
ballsy. He's like getting sloppy now.
He's getting
like they always do.
Yeah. But he still didn't fucking get caught because the campus security was like, okay, man, have a nice day.
Yeah.
Like they didn't fucking notice. And similar to his other victims, he removed the bullets from the women and dismembered their bodies.
Jesus.
He would then keep the heads for a few days after the murders and have oral sex with the severed heads. Again, it's so fucking layered. It's gross.
Gross.
So Kimber disposed of their bodies in various locations. And months later, hikers discovered some of the women's remains.
God.
Ew. Fucked, right?
Yeah, that's my nightmare.
It is. So Mike and I go hiking. We used to go hiking all the time. And then kids just really get in the way, man. But no, like after we had our baby, like it is, it's so much harder to hike with him.
It is hard,
So we've gone hiking a couple times, maybe three times this year, which is like way lower than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like.
Every time you're looking for like a hand sticking out of the leaves or something.
Yeah, because I'm sure in like a month or so we'll go on a hike. It's been too long. And now I'm going to be like looking over my shoulder. Yeah. Like those leaves look. Weird.
Is that a finger?
Ugh. I know. Gross. So at this point, Kimber was being referred to as the co-ed killer.
Right.
Or the co-ed butcher in the media.
Okay.
And so interestingly enough, during the time of Kimber's murders, there were also two other serial killers in Santa Cruz. Because one wasn't enough.
That's the place to be, I guess, if you're a serial killer. Huh.
So one was John Lindley Frazier, and the other one was Herbert Mullins.
Man.
Okay, first of all, I don't know why I had to say Herbert like that. But like, I blame the parents. You named him Herbert and didn't expect him to be a fucking murderer.
That was a terrible idea.
Herbert.
Way to go, guys.
My name is Herbert.
Yeah, that's not a good
name. Why do I sound like that? Why is that like triggering that voice for me?
How do you say it without sounding like that, honestly?
Herbert.
It sounds the same.
Yeah.
Identical.
So John Lindley Frazier and Herbert Mullins. Oh, fuck. So they were also targeting in the same area in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
So the media began describing Santa Cruz as the murder capital of the world.
Of the whole world. Wow.
The whole world.
Not just the US, the world. No. Okay, that's very arrogant of them.
It is very arrogant of them. So this area just had chaos erupting all around them. And John Lindley Frazier was known as the killer prophet. He killed 5 people.
Okay.
Which is a lot in a small time frame. And then you had Herbert Mullen. He had killed 13 fucking people.
Jeez.
I know. In the 1970s in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
So he claimed that his murders prevented earthquakes.
Oh, good. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. So eventually, I think I am going to probably do an episode on him. There's some
questions with that.
So I saw his picture and his mugshot. You want to talk about fucking crazy eyes?
Oh my God, I'm going to need to look at this later.
His mugshot, you could see up his nostrils. Oh, it was just ugly. It was just bad.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, when you can look at someone and go, whoa.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign.
No, probably not.
But I digress.
That's right, all you ugly people, we're just going to accuse you of murder from now on.
He wasn't even ugly. It was
strange.
It was strange. You could tell he was mentally fucked up.
Yeah.
His eyes were all big. He looked like he was tripping on balls.
Drugs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably was. I mean, if he's thinking murder is going to prevent earthquakes somehow. Watch, he was right, and will the rest of the world will just never see it because he succeeded.
He was there it is. I saved everybody.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So on April 20th, 1973, Kemper committed his final 2 murders before going to prison.
Well, at least we know he's going to prison soon.
Yeah. I ruined it for everybody.
Oh, it was you for once.
Whatever. Whatever, Catherine.
That's what you're going to call me whenever I do something
that
you don't like.
Yeah.
And also, you do this noise. When you disapprove of something I said.
I digress again, but I was reading the email and we were it was businessy about the podcast. And there was a line in there I didn't like. And all of a sudden, I didn't even realize I did it. I just went,
And I went, what? What did you read? So funny.
I'm working on not being so transparent, but
you're never going to succeed at that.
No, I'm not.
It's one of my favorite things about you. It's okay.
The good news is if you ever meet me in person, if I like or dislike you within seconds. Instantly. Because you can see it in my face. I have that problem where people are like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, nothing. What do you mean? And I just want to be like, it's you. You're what's wrong. I fucking hate you.
Leave. Get out of my area. Fucking face. Exit faster.
Yeah. So on April 20th, 1973, he went to visit his mother.
Good.
That's what he needs. And more fucking FaceTime with his mom.
Yeah.
And him and mommy got into a fight. Ugh. She just got home with her, she had a girls' night out with her friends. And they got into a really massive argument.
God.
And he waited to attack her until after she had fallen asleep. And then he bludgeoned her to death.
Great.
Yeah. Using a claw hammer.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about using the hammer part.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucked. When you turn it around and use the claw, it's more
that's just the visual. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
So like his other victims, he cut off his mother's head.
God.
And then he proceeded to have oral sex with her.
God, ew.
I know. It's really fucked.
It's his biggest fuck you that he can do to
her. I don't think it was that he was it was a sexual pleasure towards his mom.
No.
The sexual pleasure was coming from fuck the
overpowering.
You. I'm overpowering you. You will never speak to me this way.
Yeah. That's again. What a lot of rape is. It's about overpowering more than anything.
Yep. And so Kemper, then he took his mother's head, he put it on a shelf, and then he yelled at the head for about an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after he was done screaming at the head, he then began throwing darts at it and then smashed it into pieces.
Jesus.
Because the first 17 things wasn't fucking enough.
Yeah.
And again, she's a terrible person. This is the only victim where I'm she's kind of fucked. But this is a lot.
It is a lot.
Maybe it was therapeutic for him.
I guess.
But it's one abuser to the next abuser. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for her.
Yeah.
Every other person, please God, know that any other victim, I'm going, oh my God, this is terrible. But for her, she was very abusive.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, I think this is kind of your karma, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just such a foreign concept to me because I can't imagine being either of these people.
No.
Nothing she did was okay.
No.
But I also feel just leave then, you know?
I think you're right. I think as a mom.
Yeah.
I
could never imagine doing something so terrible to my kids.
Mad that I've been at my kids.
Yeah.
I will yell at them
and then leave the room for a little bit.
And then I get upset that I
you like, feel bad.
I do.
I always apologize too.
I do too. And even, but I no,
I'm
I don't
sorry,
always
I lost my temper.
I don't always apologize because one, I don't yell very often. Yeah. Ever actually. Like I'm actually go. I think it's because of my daddy issues. I don't actually yell at my kids a whole lot.
Yeah.
But like, I think they know that when I'm yelling, mm-hmm. it's because like
it means business.
They crossed the line, yeah. and I gave them like about 42 chances.
Yeah. Same.
So typically I don't apologize. It's because like they've pushed it too far.
Yeah.
But my point being is like, even when I get to that point, I usually have to like, when I'm like, go to your room and fix yeah. whatever, like yeah. clean your room or whatever I asked you 72 times ago.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah.
And then I go to my room and I'm like feel shaking terrible. And I'm so sad. So like the fact that this mom
yeah.
was so abusive towards him.
No
to
guilt
the point,
about it.
No guilt.
Yeah.
And so like, it's one of those where I'm like, I don't know, as I'm from mom to mom, I just want to be like, you're pretty fucked.
Yeah.
He's fucked too. Please yeah. don't get me wrong. The other victims did not deserve this.
No.
It's fucking horrible. But like for her, I'm like, child abuse is something that like I don't have any patience for. I just Same. Don't. Children to me are the most innocent
yes.
forms of people. And so if you're going to abuse them, you're a piece of fucking shit.
I agree.
Anyway, yeah. I digress. I'm done off my soapbox. I will
I feel
climb
the same
down.
Way, though. I do. I mean, I feel the same way. Even when I do get to the point where I have to like yell at my kids, I do usually apologize. And I do that. I'm sorry I lost my temper. Can we please not let it get to this point
yeah,
in the
yeah.
future? Can you just do it before I have to get mad? That'd be great.
What I always tell my kids too, I'm like, I don't think you guys get it. Like, I really don't like being mad at you guys.
Yeah,
like,
it's not
it
fun.
Kills
I
my
say that
soul.
Too every time. I hate like, it. It's
I
miserable.
Dread it. Yeah. I don't love being like, it's I asked fun. You to leave your sister because, alone.
Like, yeah, that's the thing with like these abusive, his mother, like she obviously got some sort of enjoyment from it. She
yes.
wouldn't keep doing it this way if she did
no.
it. It's not fun.
I think that she probably had a lot of mental issues and yeah. instead of her getting help, she started targeting somebody. And yeah. I think that like,
it was only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. And mm-hmm. I think that too, like, because I have read other books about like
yes.
women serial killers and like women, like kind of off
abusive,
the rockers.
Yeah.
It's because they're so fucked up in the brain
yes.
that they, instead of getting help, they tend to just take their aggression on to
innocent,
someone,
especially people who can't fight them off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sucks.
Anyway.
Don't abuse your kids.
Yeah. No,
just
seriously.
Don't. Verbal, emotional, physical,
none of it.
Otherwise.
None of it.
Just don't do it.
I don't have patience for it.
No.
It's disgusting.
Or anyone for that matter. Not even
no.
just kids. Don't be abusive.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Overall, just don't be a shitty person.
Right.
Be good people.
Mm-hmm. My favorite is the ones who always wear like the be kind, I'm kind shirts, but then they're just like berating people behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, those are my favorite kind of people where like yeah. they're the ones like posting about all of the
how
like,
good of a person they are.
And then like they're the most abusive.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Get help. Yeah. You know, the worst part is, though, is that these people usually think that they are perfect and they don't need help. And then they never get the help. That's
but you
the
know
thing.
What? I stand by this.
Yeah.
Everybody needs help.
Agreed.
Even if it's like you had a great childhood and you have no trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It
therapy's good.
Therapy's good.
I think some people are afraid to get therapy because
they're
the back
afraid
of their
to
minds,
hear that they're the ones that are the ones
that maybe
that,
might be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, talking about Kemper and him recklessly killing his mom, we digressed a lot.
Sorry.
And we apologize.
Not sorry.
PSA. Anyway, so after he was done, he put the head on the shelf. He's screaming at her and he can't get enough anger out. And then after he was done screaming at the head, he then began throwing darts at it and then smashed it into pieces, which is extremely fucked. But then he removed the larynx and tongue and put it in the garbage disposal.
Oh, well, now she can never yell at him again.
That was kind of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
However, the garbage disposal couldn't cut it up.
Well, it was the 70s. Inferior technology, maybe.
I know, but I think that would stop anything. That's
yes.
like a lot. That's
it's
a
very
big muscle.
Tough muscle. Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot of tissue. It's a lot of muscle. It's very thick.
Yeah.
I was a surgical technician at one point, and I did cut up people. But like legally and like bodies are
not
bodies,
just for enjoyment.
Not for enjoyment, but bodies are tougher than you think.
Yeah.
So while being interviewed by police, Kemper stated, in quotes, "It seemed appropriate as much as she had bitched and screamed at me over the years. But even when she was dead, she was still bitching at me. I couldn't get her to shut up."
Okay.
But I think that was the paranoid schizophrenia.
The schizophrenia.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So Kemper invited his mom's best friend, Sarah Sally Hallett, over for dinner the following day.
He invited her.
Yes.
And she was like, okay, it's not weird or anything that I'm not being invited by my friend.
No, because he told her that it was going to be a surprise dinner for his mother.
Oh, so gross.
So if my kids invite you over for a surprise dinner for me,
just know that you're dead already. Yeah. I'm about to stumble onto a crime scene.
So as soon as his mom's friend got there, he strangled her to death and cut off her head. And then he spent the night with the dead bodies. The next morning, which just happened to be Easter Sunday, Kemper left a note for the police to find.
Oh my God.
And left the scene.
Great.
Kemper fled the state on April 24th, 1973. Kemper used a payphone in Colorado to call a Santa Cruz police department. Kemper claimed that he had called 3 times for someone to take his confession fucking seriously. Like, that's so fucked. Could you imagine?
Okay, Ed, good try. You really got us there.
They're like, okay, Big Ed. Yeah. We'll see you later at the bar, okay?
Oh, my God.
Like, no, Big Ed's like killing
actually
fuckers.
A piece of shit.
So he had befriended so many of the police officers that it was making them hard to it was making it hard for them to believe that their good friend Big Ed could actually be the notorious serial killer that they've been on the case looking for.
Oh, my God.
So he eventually was arrested and was going to be tried for 8 counts of first-degree murder.
Great.
And while waiting for his trial, he attempted suicide by cutting his wrist.
Okay.
Yeah. So during the trial, Kemper's attorney claimed that he was not guilty by reason of insanity. And on November 8th, 1973, the jury found him legally sane and convicted him on 8 counts of murder.
Good.
He was sentenced to life in prison.
Just because you have a mental illness does not mean you don't fully know what you're fucking doing and know that it's wrong. Do I believe that it's possible for people to like actually be insane and do things without really? Yes. Do I believe that he was? Absolutely
no.
Not. All of this was premeditated.
I think it was premeditated. And I also think because it was every time he had a fight with his mom, he would go out and kill somebody.
Yep.
And this is where it comes down to, do I think that if he was born into a different family, same mental condition, but different family, would he have a different life? Probably.
Yeah.
Because I do think the abuse just escalated the mental illness and made it so fucking crazy.
Yep. You never can tell.
Like, unfortunately, that's not the life he was given.
Right.
But he also had like a decision to make and he made the wrong one.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Exactly.
And over again.
I don't believe that he didn't know what he was doing was wrong.
Right.
He had to have known.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when asked what kind of punishment he should receive for actions, his suggestion was death by torture.
Oh, he would just love that, wouldn't he?
But that's the thing is like in his head, he was like, I'm going to tell them that so that they like
think I have remorse or something.
Kind of. But yeah. I think he would have enjoyed it. I don't think that's
the gas chamber game.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where my mind went.
Yeah.
So after hearing his sentence, all Kemper said was, well, it's all over now.
Great.
And Kemper has served his sentence in California Medical Facility State Prison. He is now in his 70s and he's said to be a model prisoner.
I'm sure he is.
Uh-huh. Kemper was eligible for parole in 1979 and he waived his right to a hearing.
Okay.
His lawyer, Scott Curry, stated he's just happy about going his life in prison.
Yeah, it's all he's known for decades.
I think he's happier there.
Yeah. And there's no like women there for him to hate on.
I think this is where he knows he can actually be a good person.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say good person.
Yeah. Not
that's not what I meant.
People, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A better person, not killing people.
Yeah.
He also waived his right for a parole hearing in 1980.
Oh, good.
81, 82, oh. 85, 88, 91, 94, 97,
oh
2002, 2007, and in 2012. Why is
offering.
The government letting him have even these? Why is this an opportunity?
Yeah, stop. He killed a fuck ton of people brutally. Why are you giving him a chance to ever be free again? That like
I don't understand.
Put away now for this sort of stuff or go to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Like,
do I believe that some prisoners can be reformed? Yes. Do I think he can be reformed? No.
Absolutely not.
No. They already tried. They expunged his record because they thought he was reformed. He's not fucking reformed. He even knows it. The prisoner knows it. He knows this is a bad idea. Why don't you guys know?
That's the reason why he's doing fine in prison is because there is nobody who is a potential target in prison.
No, and he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And if he's okay with that, then shut the fuck up, California.
Yeah. Stop giving him opportunities. Right. It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Like when the prisoner is going, I don't have self-control.
Yeah. No, you probably do now. Let's just try. And
he's like, no, seriously, I don't have self-control.
Like, what do they want? To not have to pay for him anymore?
That's
like,
100%.
Yeah.
God, I guarantee
it.
You.
Yeah.
But it's not worth it. I guarantee you he would come out and he would kill again.
Just if not for anything else, just to get put back in where he's comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's comfortable here. Because he's made friends. He's made friends with the prisoners. So I was trying to not prisoners.
Guards. Yeah.
So I was trying to make our little poster for the episode this week. And it was hard to find a picture of him not laughing with the fucking guards. Because I refuse to put that out. Like, we are not. He's done so much trauma to so many innocent families that I refuse to be like, look, he's just a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah, we don't want to see that.
No. And so, it was that moment of, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's that lovable. He's manipulative.
Yeah.
I don't think he's lovable. I think he manipulates people to make him make them think that he's lovable.
But I think you're right. Different circumstances might not have gone this way for his life.
But that's not how it worked out.
No.
But I do think maybe this is coming from my own trauma too. But I think you have decisions to make when you come from a shitty childhood.
It's
either you figure it out and you swear you'll never be like your parents. Or
you perpetuate the cycle.
Yeah. And I think he perpetuated the cycle.
A lot
and that's
of people
on him.
Do.
I won't take that away.
No. And a lot of people don't realize that's what they're doing. They think that they're doing it better, but they're really not. And it's not until they get older and look back at their mistakes that they're going to realize
and
they
actually
fucked up. And
at that point, you've already fucked up more people's lives.
Yeah.
Right? So he even told the parole board that he wasn't fit to be in society.
Oh, good.
While in prison, he was interviewed by FBI agents to help them understand serial killers and get more proficient at profiling.
Okay.
And this is what I was kind of referring to earlier in the episode. So one of the agents was alone with Kemper during the interview process, and Kemper picked up that the agent was apprehensive. So the agent had pressed a secret button to call a guard to open the cell. Oh, it's like the oh shit button,
and this
right?
is in the 70s. I bet that shit worked only half the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he kept pushing it and one showed up. And so Kemper said, these are exact quotes. He goes, relax. They're changing the shift. If I went apeshit in here, you'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't you?
Oh my God.
I could screw your head off and place it on the table to greet the guard. So at this point, that agent was like, I'm shitting my pants.
Yeah. I would be horrified.
So Kemper claimed that he was just joking.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He probably was in his mind.
Yeah, he was like, man, I was just kidding.
JK.
It
was
a
goof-em.
Yeah. He's like, I was just goofing off.
Oh, my God.
So he claimed that he was just joking. And the FBI actually, at that point, instated a rule to only interview serial killers in pairs.
Yeah.
Probably which should
smart.
Have been the fucking, startup. It shouldn't have been, one-on-one.
Right.
It just shouldn't have
been. It's a
bad
idea.
And also, if there's guards changing, they should have had some kind of rule that prisoners are smart.
Yes.
Not all, but a lot of them are very intelligent. I have some in my family as well. But they're actually really intelligent. And so they're going to pick up on the fact that between 1:30 and 1:40, the guards are so busy changing shifts that no one's actually paying attention. That's when they're going to kill someone.
Yeah.
Be better.
Be better.
Don't be dumb.
That's so silly.
But I guess it was back in the day too, where they thought every prisoner was an idiot.
Yeah.
But usually some of these prisoners are off the charts intelligent.
Of
and that's
course.
Sometimes they use their intelligence for the worst, for evil, I guess.
Yeah.
So he is now eligible for parole in 2024.
Oh, good.
Again.
Great.
So we'll see if he denies it or if he's out.
Because
if
he's
out,
70s.
I'm going to be like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
So Kemper explained why he targeted mostly college females.
Ooh, what did he say?
His exact quotes. I was involved in killing co-eds because my mother was associated with college work.
Okay.
And I had a very violently outspoken position on men for much of my upbringing. My mother was sick. angry, hungry, and a very sad woman. I hated her.
Wow.
But I wanted to love my mother. Mm. I watched the alcohol increase. I watched her get more bizarre.
Jeez.
If he's calling you bizarre, bitch, yeah, you are real fucked.
Yeah.
So during an interview, he also told the FBI agent he would walk into his mother's room at night and he would stand by the foot of her bed holding the claw hammer and fantasizing, ew, about murdering her.
So right? It really was only a matter of time.
Yes.
He was always planning to at some point.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would like go kill the co-eds as like so that he didn't kill her and then he just couldn't anymore.
I don't know. I for sure it was displaced anger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it was to save her life or if it was just his like his brain just
These women would never love me, so they don't deserve to live, sort of thing.
Yeah. I can't tell.
Yeah.
So he would often go to the bars where the police hung out. And he would discuss the cases with the officers, though.
Yeah.
And Kemper would often see if they had figured out that it was him or not. So he would, like, poke the bear and be like, well, do you have a lead?
You guys got any updates? And they'd
be like, no. Or? We're, like, so confused. And he'd be like, okay, good.
Snickering to himself.
God. Yeah, which is extremely fucked.
Yeah.
So, and this is a complete digression. Are you ready?
Yep.
So in researching, I found that Kemper was a Sagittarius.
Oh.
Because I'm a Sagittarius.
Interesting.
So I thought it was weird because when I was researching him, it was like one of like the quick bios. It was like the like spark notes or cliff notes of the whole article. Like I love
that somebody notated that.
Yeah. And it was like at the very bottom and it was like his birthday, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it was like, he's a Sagittarius. And I was like, what the fuck does that matter? Yeah. And I went, oh, I'm a Sagittarius. I'm an am I a serial killer? Maybe.
And maybe that's all it takes.
Maybe that's all it takes. So when I researched it more because I couldn't let it go, I looked up the most common zodiac signs for a serial killer.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. So let's hear
Pisces,
it.
Cancer, Scorpio, and Sagittarius.
That's interesting, though.
So the explanation, because I did look, so I was like, so when I'd like to say I don't like strongly believe in zodiac signs. Right. Like I kind of find them fun, but like I don't like swear by them.
Right.
And then when I've looked previously, like my zodiac sign kind of fits me. It's like very outgoing and it's like balls to the wall. You live life. Like we tend to put our foot in our mouths kind of thing because we don't have a filter, which is me, I think is a fair statement. But that was the explanation on why like Sagittarius individuals can kill. It was because Sagittarius, this is the quote, Sagittarius' approach on life is with no filter on their words or actions.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
okay.
I thought it was endearing. Yeah. So I just thought it was, I thought it was funny with the signs. Not that I put that much weight into it, but when I looked, it was like,
I do think it's weird though, how like they all fall into those four categories.
It was pretty weighted. It was pretty weighted evenly. Like there was a few serial killers here and there, but overall,
I'm going to have to look into this further and see like what types of killers they are. And if they all, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like how.
What she's saying is she's not sure she's going to let me back in her house again.
No, I mean like the serial killers that fall into the categories. What if like the ones in this, like if the Sagittarius ones all have this sort of similar traits and then the other ones have these, sort of, you know what I mean?
What she's saying is Sagittarius people are awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. None of those things are what I was saying, but I'm glad that
I only listen like 10% of the time.
Literally.
Ask my husband. I just, or my favorite. Oh my God, guys, I'm like the worst. So Mike will tell me these like important things. Like it'll be like something that happened in the news or it'll be like a fun fact.
Important.
And then I wait like 2 weeks and then I tell him.
Oh my God. You tell him as if you're sharing the information for the first time.
Great. Yeah, because I forgot he told me.
That's and so then I tell funny. Him,
like, I don't know who told me this.
He was like, it was me. No, it was me, dummy.
I'm always like, okay, I have to tell you this. It's like so fucking crazy, right?
Oh my God.
And I'm
God.
Like, I don't know who told me this or if I read it somewhere. And then I get midway through the story and his eyes are bugging.
And you just know. He's like, what the fuck?
By the time I'm like midway, he goes, I did, Susie.
I told you this.
I'm the one that told you this. You're fucking with me, right? And I'm like, no.
That's so good. I love that.
Being married to me, like, is a lot.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so tell me about next week's episode.
I sure will. We previously talked about the haunted hotels.
Yeah.
And we discussed very briefly Madame Lalaurie in New Orleans.
I can't wait.
Bringing her to the table. It's going to be a lot of fun. sort of. She was fucked. But it's going to be an interesting story, a twist detail. So I'm excited to tell you about it. Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm not going to give you any details.
That's it? You weren't going to give me any details?
I'm not. I'm going to let it be a total surprise. I don't know. She was bad. She was a bad lady. And she murdered and tortured her servants.
Kate isn't prepared. We don't know anything about her.
I have the whole episode written up already.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's just so fucked. I'm just going to save it for you. Listen in, guys.
I want to say I'm excited, but like I feel wrong for saying that.
It's a lot.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued is a good word. Because I don't know. I watched American, what is it?
American Horror Story, the Coven season.
Yeah. And so like, I guess I know a little bit from that, but obviously it's very Hollywoodized.
The portrayal was surprisingly accurate for the most part.
No, shut the fuck up.
Up until the whole like being buried alive and cutting her head off part. But she was a terrible, horrible person.
It got a little fucked.
It did.
But that's, I like that show, but it always goes like, it goes, off it's good, rails. It's good, it's good. And then it goes off the rails and you're like, okay, it's
too far.
It's too far.
Back it
it's
up. Too far. Agreed. Yeah. But no, she was awful. She had an interesting life and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll tune in next week.
Yeah.
If you don't hate us by now. And if you
and if you're enjoying us, please listen, rate and review us. We love reading your reviews and it really helps other people find this same sort of content.
And follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Sinister Junk Mail Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have any personal stories, we genuinely love reading them. And we're actually trying to like save them up for another episode on like personal stories, probably in January.
Mm-hmm.
So start sending them in now.
Yep.
So email us at sinisterjunkmailpodcast@gmail.com.
Good job.
Thank you. I can't do it normally.
No.
I realized.
It's okay though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. Well, that's it for this week then. Thanks for listening.
Oh,
there's more.
We hope you had a great Halloween yesterday.
Yeah, happy Halloween yesterday.
Because it's my favorite day of the year.
Yep.
But anyway.
For real now.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
You hang up.
All right.
Anyway,
bye.
Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.